Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi, with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Hei, Chapter 35. In this perek, Yechezkel gives a nevuah against Edom. This perek seems out of place. It is talking about the downfall of another nation, yet it is found in the section of the Sefer that is meant to be about comfort. Moreover, we had already talked about Edom in Perek Chaf Hei, Chapter 25, in the proper section where it discusses all the other nations. So why the repetition about Edom? What does this perek add to our understanding of Edom and why it belongs in the section of comfort? To understand this, we need to think about what Edom stands for. The Edom that is being talked about here is not the Edom being talked about earlier in the Sefer. The previous perek was talking about Edom, the small land that bordered Israel. This perek is talking about Edom with a capital E. Edom as a concept is one of the four kingdoms that exiled the Jewish people and represents a spiritually evil force whose mission is to counteract the holiness of the Jewish people. Edom is another name for Esav, who settled in Har Seir. Esav was the twin brother of Yaakov, and their rivalry extended to before their birth. When Rivka was pregnant with both Esav and Yaakov, she felt a constant tension within her. Upon asking, she received a nevuah that defined the rivalry that was to come between these two brothers as one for the ages. When the descendants of Yaakov followed the Torah, they would dominate the children of Esav. When Yaakov sinned, Esav gained ascendancy. The most pronounced time when Esav dominated Yaakov was at the time of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, when Rome destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and exiled the people to slavery. We have been living under Edom's influence since then for over 2,000 years. This perek is our nechama that in the times of Mashiach, things will be set right. Edom and everything it stands for will be destroyed, and only the children of Yaakov will merit to live in the lands of Israel and will survive to see the times of Mashiach. This perek takes place after the last perek, which spoke of Mashiach and redemption because, as the Malbim explains, it is only then that Edom will be completely destroyed. When we are experiencing our ultimate geula, Edom will be facing its complete and final destruction. The Radak quotes the pasuk from Avadia, which deals exclusively with this topic as proof. Va'alu Moshiyim b'har Tzion l'shpot es har Esav. When the saviors ascend the mountain of Zion to judge the mount of Esav, our salvation is linked to the disappearance of all that Edom represents. The first four psukim tell us how desolate Edom will be. From Hay through Tess, 5 to 9, the psukim discuss why Edom needed to be destroyed, how they hated Yaakov's children with an eternal passion. The perek concludes from Psukim Yod through Tesvav, verses 10 to 15, with a promise of Edom's future destruction. In Pasuk Beis, verse 2, we begin with a phrase familiar to those of us who have now been studying the whole Sefer Yechezkel. Ben Adam, Sim Panecha al Har Seir v'hinaveh alav. Son of man, set your face against Mount Seir and prophesy against it. Throughout Sefer Yechezkel, Hashem uses the word Sim Panecha, direct your face, which the Das Mikra interprets to mean that Yechezkel is directing Hashem's punishment and anger against the subject of the Nebuah. Hashem promises to destroy Edom and make them utterly desolate, wherever they may live. Why did Edom deserve this fate more than any other nation? The Pasuk tells us the reason. Pasuk Hey, verse 5, Yan Heyos Lecha Evas Olam, because you had a perpetual hatred. When Edom came to attack Israel during the Chorban, they did so with a burning anger that showed it would never abate. As Rashi says in Bereishis, quoting Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Halacha hi biyadua she'esav sone Yaakov. It is a well-known rule that Esav hates Yaakov. Whatever Edom or Seir or Rome did to the Bnei Yisrael was based on this feud that began with Yaakov and caused them to try to kill the Jewish people whenever they got a chance. As a result of their wanton murder of the Jewish people, Hashem swears in Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Ki l'dam escha, I will turn you to blood. Just as you killed so many in cold blood, your people will likewise be killed. V'dam yirdefecha, blood will pursue you. Your enemies will not want to take you captive. They will just want to make sure that you are dead. Im lo dam sanesa v'dam yirdefecha, though you have hated blood, blood will pursue you. Did Esav hate blood? That is not what we know about him. He was the most violent of people. In the Midrash, he is the one who killed Nimrod, taking the mantle as the most vicious person alive. He is even called an Admoni, which means ruddy, because of his inherent violent tendencies. The Midrash in Bamidbar Rabbah says about him, Harei, kama tzadikim harag, Hare, kama chasidim harag. How many righteous people did he kill? How many pious people did he kill? The Midrash continues that Esav only hated blood that was associated with divine service. He hated the blood of the Karbanos. Originally, only the Bechor, the eldest, could serve as a Kohen and offer Karbanos to Hashem. The day Avram died, Esav was hunting in the field and he came back starving. Yaakov offered him food in exchange for the Bechora, the firstborn rights. The reason? Yaakov could only bring Karbanos if he were the Bechor. Esav responded, "What do I need this Bechora for?" The Pasuk says, "Vayivez Esav vesav Bechora." Esav despised the Bechora. He did not want the Bechora birthright because he hated the idea of offering Karbanos. Therefore, our Pasuk says he hated blood. Another Midrash says, Edom also hated Bris Milah as he could not bear the thought that he was imperfect and needed to, in his mind, disfigure himself to fulfill the will of Hashem. In both the cases of Karbanos and Milah, Esav would have had to do something in the physical world to infuse it with the spiritual. He wanted nothing to do with this kind of service. In contrast, earlier in Yechezkel it says, B'damai chayi, b'damai chayi. With your blood you shall live, with your blood you shall live. The Jewish people in the land of Mitzrayim participated in two types of service that gave them the zechus to leave Egypt that involved blood, the Dam Milah, the blood of circumcision, and the Dam Pesach, the blood of the carbon of the paschal offering. This was the exact kind of blood that Esav hated. And while Esav was called an Admoni and supported murder, David, who was also called an Admoni, only fought wars that were necessary to help the Jewish people. Even with his positive intentions, David could not build the Beis HaMikdash because he had the blood of wars on his hands. The blood we appreciate and the blood we hate is exactly the opposite of what Edom feels. Pasuk Zion verse 7 tells us that the punishment of Esav would be destruction. V'nasati es har se'ir lishim'a u'shmama, v'chrati meimenu over v'shav. Thus will I make Mount Seir utterly desolate, and will I cut off from him all who pass and return. The land will be so desolate that no one will even travel there. Pasuk Ches, verse 8, continues that the land, the hills and valleys, will be filled with corpses. The Malbim says there will be no one left to even go into Galus. This destruction will be unlike the promised destruction of Israel or Egypt, whose lands lay empty for a limited time. This will be, Pasuk Tes, verse 9, Ashim Os Olam, a perpetual desolation. Once the land is destroyed, it will never be rebuilt. Pasuk Yod, verse 10, begins the last part of the Perek. It tells us again why Edom faces a different fate than the rest of the nations. It uses the word Yan, a word found throughout the Sefer, which shows us the cause of punishment. Yan amarcha, eshnei hagoyim v'shtei haritzos li siena virashnuha. Because you have said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess it. When the Jews were sent into Galus, Edom wanted to dominate the two nations that made up the Jewish people, Yehuda and Israel, and take over their lands forever. Vashem Shem Haya, and Hashem was there. The Malam says that their plan was by taking over these lands, they would also now be the new nation of Hashem. Rashi interprets the identity of these two nations differently by quoting a Medrash Agadah. The Medrash tells of an evil plot Esav devised. Esav married Ishmael's daughter and then tried to arouse Ishmael's hatred toward Yitzchak over the inheritance of Avraham. Esav reasoned that Ishmael would get so angry that he would then go and kill Yitzchak. Esav would then be the Goel Hadam, the person halachically allowed to avenge the death of a close relative, and could kill Ishmael. Esav would then legally inherit the property of both Yitzchak his father and Ishmael his father-in-law. For this reason, the Pasuk concludes, Hashem Hayasham, Hashem knew his plans and thwarted them instead. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. The Navi continues with the word Lachain, therefore, which is the word used to introduce punishments to our Sefer. Lachain Chayani, therefore, Hashem swears, Vasisi Ka'apcha Uchinascha, I will do according to your anger and according to your envy. Because Edom's actions were motivated by their blinding rage and jealousy, that is how Hashem will act with them. The result of this vengeance from Hashem is for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. V'nodati vam kasher esh b'techa, and I will be known and recognized among them when I judge you. B'nei Yisrael will now recognize that Hashem is watching and overseeing the world based on the precision of his judgment. At that time, Hashem will finally make known that he has heard all the blasphemies that Edom has been spouting about Israel when they say, Shamemu lanu nitnu la'achla, they are laid desolate, they are given to us to devour. These heretical words stem from a similar place that caused the downfall of the other great nations, like Tsur and Mitzrayim. Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, V'tagdilu alai v'fichem, and you have made yourselves great against me with your mouth. This means that Hashem heard when Edom bragged and spoke with bravado about himself, saying Hashem would not hear him. V'hartartem alai devrechem ani shamati, and you have said words against me, and I have heard it. The parak ends with a beautiful promise. Kismoch kol ha'aretz, shemama e'eselach. When the whole earth is happy, I will make you desolate. There will be a time when the whole world is full of joy, and that can only happen during the days of Mashiach. The Mitzvah David says, at that time, the Malchus, the reign of Hashem, is revealed, which will cause the entire world to be genuinely happy. This nation, Edom, will not take part in this happiness, and they will meet their end. Just as much as Edom was happy to take over the land of Israel when it was desolate, that is what Hashem will do to Edom. Their land will become part of Israel, and they will be as desolate as they had hoped would happen to the Jewish people. This parak spoke about an enemy who lived at the time of the Churban, but who represented so much more. The nation of Edom was the manifestation of the hatred that Esau felt for Yaakov and was kept active by his children. From the beginning of their lives, these two nations faced off. There was one who wanted spirituality and the other who wanted to dominate this world. It is our nechama, our comfort, that Hashem will choose us, the nation who wants to use this world to be more spiritual, instead of the more powerful brother who just wants to conquer and dominate. At the end of time, the stronger, more argumentative brother will be destroyed, and we will finally be able to rejoice with Hashem as our king. Thank you for studying together, Li'ilui Nishmas Malk Esther Basvi Yosef.